Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the Assembly Minority Leader, Pete Gokachia. He doesn't pull any punches. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Martha Gold, Orrin Johnson, and Michael Hackett. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
And our 2010 TV spot, we wow them with stuff they don't need. Like a year supply of fruitcake, a pooch, and a health insurance plan for just $29.95.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Is your child happy in school? There is another way. Bluefield Prep is a values-driven college preparatory school for grades 3 through 12 that offers affordable instruction completely online and puts the power to direct your child's education back in your hands. Whether your child needs to be more challenged or your child needs more time than a traditional classroom allows, Bluefield Prep has a solution to fit. Call today to receive the free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education. Join thousands of other families who are taking control of their child's education by discovering online education. Bluefield Prep offers a fully accredited academic program overseen by a team of qualified, caring instructors. Bluefield Prep even offers an early college option that can save thousands in college tuition. So call the number below today for your free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education, with no obligation, or go online to bluefieldprep.com. Every child deserves to be happy in school, so don't wait. Call Bluefield Prep now. You'll be glad you did.
In 2010, we triple our profits with a new thing we call a website. They get fruitcake, a pooch, and a health insurance plan for just $29.95.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program Pete Gokachia. He is the Assembly Minority Leader. Welcome to the program, sir. Pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, Sam. Ray.
And going into a session that's going to have, if you are reelected, which I presume you will be, a session that will have between a $3 and $4 billion gap in the budget, why would you want to be the Minority Leader?
Well, first of all, I think the most critical position from our perspective in the Assembly is the fact that we need to be there at the supermajority, which is 15 or more, and that's really why I'm focused on, as a minority leader, we need to get a couple more Republicans elected, Sam, and bring us that so we can be involved in the discussion.
Where do you think your best chances are?
There's at least five races, and that are in play today. As we look at the numbers, there's no doubt. The Obama wave in 08 has somewhat reversed. We're seeing a change in registration, especially just a gradual creeping back on the Republican side. Some of those races that were, or some of those districts that we were behind in, we have now pulled even or have a slight registration
advantage.
Would
you mind naming them off?
Clearly. Mark Sherwood's 21 and 40 in Carson City are both, I think those are doable because we do have that registration advantage there. Of course, we've got to hold 13, which was Chad Christensen's old seat. Mm-hmm. And, we were pretty well upside down in that district by a couple thousand votes, and we're gradually creeping back. There are a number of other seats in the South, predominantly in the South, that we're seeing a slight change that's in our favor. And, of course, the other side of it is, as we look at the nonpartisans, the libertarians, and the independents out there, big bubble, especially in the South, almost a third of those voters.
Pete, now, you want to be the minority leader, although you still have to be voted to that. position when all the new assembly people are elected.
Right.
Do you think that there's going to be a push to move this minority leadership back down to Las Vegas and perhaps give it to Mr. Hambrick?
Well, I know Assemblyman Hambrick is interested in being the minority leader. You know, it was even when Assemblywoman Gansert stepped down, and I really commend her because of where she was and the fact that she wasn't running again. I think it was great. But, yeah, John actively looked at it, but before, when we made the transition, but clearly didn't have the votes. I think the bottom line is it's all about the votes, and I'm not really focused on what happens after November. My focus, and when I took the position, was for the next 5 months to do what I could to generate resources so we can get, we need to pick up a couple seats. And it's critical.
What are your thoughts on some that have said that previous Republican minority leaders have just been too much getting along and not taking a stand?
Well, I think...
And are you going to be different?
Well, I was there in the 03 session, part of the Mean 15, there's no doubt about it. I call myself a conventional Republican. I'm not a Tea Partier, and I don't believe I'm a moderate. I'm in agriculture. I'm probably as conservative as any man in the state. You have to be if you're going to exist in agriculture. But the other side of it is you have to come to the table and you've got to have these conversations. And that's exactly why you don't want to be on your back when you're waging the fight, which you are if you're irrelevant and under 15. So if you can come to the table and have enough clout that you can enter into the conversation and debate this. I think clearly, you know, whoever's elected governor will set forth a budget, and I believe it will be Sandoval. And that's the first conversation, first discussion we're going to have. And I hope we have it before we go to session, with leadership on between the governor and leadership from both houses, both sides. And we need to talk about what these, clearly both sides say, Candidate Reid and Candidate Sandoval both say no tax increases. So there's going to be significant cuts in place when we talk about $3 billion. So that's the first conversation we're going to have in the legislative houses. Who, you know, what cuts are going to be made? What can we live with? I think we go back to zero-based budgeting, start from the bottom, come up, and at the end of the day, then we'll start the conversation about will this budget fly?
Well, $3 billion, Pete, I mean, you can't cut your way to that. It's like you'd be cutting off your arm and leg and your ear and nose to get to $3 billion. You were on the CORC budget committees last year. What do you see as a conservative? Do you see a chance of raising at least $1 billion in taxes?
I don't believe. I think we can get by with less than $1 billion, but I do believe we're going to have some revenue increases, and I would hope they come in the way of reforms. I personally believe that we could take a look at modified business tax, some of those more regressive taxes we have in place, and maybe substitute a broader based, or, you know, I'll be honest, I believe that we should have had the 2% state sales tax on food on the ballot this fall. That takes one vote of the people. Let the people decide yes or no.
And but don't you think that's the most regressive tax to
is it regressive that everybody gets to pay it, Sam?
I mean, but the poor people would end up paying a much larger portion of their income than the middle class and the wealthy.
Well, I disagree with that. It's 2%. Everybody gets the opportunity to pay. Is it fair that we would impose the tax burden only on the wealthy? Let's spread it across the board. Give everybody the opportunity. 2% on food, and again, I'm not talking about applying any of the county local government portion. Just the 2% of the states on food.
Well, Pete, what about a tax on services? I mean, that is an untapped gold mine for taxes. If you tax with no tax on services.
Well, I agree that that would be an option we can look at, Ray. And again, especially if we're going to take take modified business off, we have to be very careful when we start talking about sales tax on service, because it's already being battered around that this particular group would be exempt and that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to put a sales tax on services, then no exemptions. Everybody gets to pay. But let's balance it with reducing some of these other very regressive taxes on business.
Let me ask you this. How much do you think a 2% tax on food would bring in?
Well, I believe it would be someplace around $500 million over for the biennium. And let's face it, that's a big hole.
Okay.
And again, the voters can take that off. It requires one ballot question. They put it on, they take it off. It's the legislature takes no action in that.
All right, let's take a break. More with the minority leader when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans. Generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year. Provided nearly $700 million to help our schools. And built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Pete Gokuchia. He is the Assembly Minority Leader. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Pete, one of the things when I look at rural Nevada, which you represent, is one of the things that makes my head shake is what the legislature has done so little to build a new courthouse in Ely and to also firmly address the security issues there. That's your district, and Democrats have told me quietly that the reason the courthouse has never been built was because, number one, you were part of the Mean 15 back in 03. Number two, you voted for the $800 million tax hike back in 03. And also the Democrats in the Assembly just had a vindictiveness against Republicans from the Mean 15 who did not go along with the tax hike. But on the other hand, Moose Arbery in Ways and Means has said, why build a courthouse in Ely when your representative, meaning you, hasn't voted for any of the tax hikes? Why should you get the funding when you don't vote for the tax hikes? What's the deal with the courthouse in Ely? It's never been built, and it certainly needs to be.
Well, yes, Ray, that courthouse in Ely, and again, I think in the 05 session, when we clearly came out of the 03 session with a tax increase we probably didn't need, because again we gave $300 million back in the form of DMV rebates, it was unfortunate. And I do believe that was probably retaliation against those of us from the rurals that did not support that $800 million tax increase, mm-hmm. which, depending on how you calculate it, ended up around $1 billion. The need for the courthouse, probably the thing that's, White Pine County, if it didn't have the maximum security prison housed in Ely or White Pine County, then the need for the courthouse isn't there. How do you have guys that are on death row or facing 3 to 5 life, concurrent life sentences, coming into a courthouse? They can't be in shackles. They're seated there within arm's length reach of the witnesses, of the judge. I've been in that facility. The security, it just isn't there. And again, these people have nothing to lose. But it is a state issue. That's a state prison. The maximum security prison for the state of Nevada is housed in White Pine County. To say that, and of course there was a courtroom built in the facility, but again, that was struck down, that you can't hear those cases inside the walls because it tends to taint your jury pool. So clearly, that facility needs to be rebuilt. $10 million, is that a lot to put into a community for a basic courthouse to maintain at least some type of security and safety for those people?
It seems like this is just a disaster waiting to happen.
It will happen, Ray. And again, I think that, a lot of the ill will from the 03 session has gradually moved by us. I think we're all, along with the fact that most of those people are gone. You know, but again, we haven't got the revenues, the resources in this. You know, you can't talk about a $3 billion shortfall and talk about building a courthouse in White Pine County. But I would hope at the point that we do move ahead and there are, this economy does recover, and it will, then that would be first and foremost on the list.
You know, Senator Reid has been very successful in Washington, D.C., in peeling off Republicans to vote along with the Democrats. Barbara Buckley, as Assembly Speaker, has held her caucus under an iron thumb. But it's a new day coming into the next session with John Ostagara. Do you believe that there are conservative Democrats that you might be able to peel away to join your group if necessary?
Well, I'm not going to speculate on whether John can or cannot hold his caucus together. He won't be any different than ours. You know, it's no surprise that the Republican caucus doesn't march lockstep. You know, we are an independent caucus, but that's why we're Republicans, because we are independent. I don't know. I agree it's going to be different. John clearly is going to have, you know, in the best case scenario, we'll have 19 new members, and we anticipate, because again, we want to pick up some seats. So clearly half of that body could be freshmen. I don't care who you are. It's going to be a lot like herding cats.
Now, Pete, another key thing of this legislative session, rather than the tax issue or the budget issue, is the thing about redistricting. And after redistricting, it seems like rural Nevada is good. Their voice is going to be like a little peep, because what are you going to, you could have one senator and one assemblyman for the entire rural part of the state?
Without an expansion of the legislature, clearly we will be two assembly people and one senator for everything outside of Clark and Washoe County if we don't expand the legislature. Clearly I do support and will be looking to see some additional seats. At a minimum, one senator and two more assembly persons need to be, you know, we can go clear to 75 in the legislature by the Constitution. We do need to expand the legislature, or there will not be any representation in the rurals. And then as we talk redistricting, reapportionment, you have to understand that we've got districts down south that have got 110,000 voters in them, and other districts that's got have 12,000 voters. So the balance isn't there. You know, the number, I think it's very intriguing. You have to understand the 14 assembly Republican assembly people in the legislature last session actually garnered more votes than the Democrats. The 28 Democrats were on the other side. So if you look at what they actually pulled in for votes, the 14 Republicans actually pulled more votes than the 28 Democrats that were elected to the assembly. So if we get a little balance in this reapportionment, it might not be quite as ugly.
Okay.
We'll see. But we're expecting it to be pretty ugly. All right. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. We'll be right back in Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems checked. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken, from up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
On the next Face-to-Face, Clark County Sheriff Doug Gillespie will be here to talk about the spate of officer-involved shootings. He's already made changes based on the case of Trayvon Cole. Our more to come. We'll ask him about that, what's on those tapes from the Costco shooting of Eric Scott, and more.
Click on MyNews4.com and get the best in today's news and events. Customize your homepage to get only the articles and video that you want to see. Browse the latest news, sports, and weather only on MyNews4.com.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Martha Gould is here, the political activist, Aaron Johnson, state chairman of the Nevada Federation of Young Republicans, and Michael Hackett, vice president of Allris Consulting. Pleasure to have you all here. I want to start out with you, Aaron. Last week, pretty amazing, the last combat troops pulled out of Iraq. How do you feel?
Well, as a veteran, I spent a lot of time in the Middle East, and I supported that at the time. Most of my time there was before the invasion of Iraq, but there the smuggling was evident, the problems were evident, and the aggression that was starting to happen, the stepping up as Saddam Hussein was getting more and more emboldened to do the kinds of things he was doing then, was apparent. And so I supported it. I supported the surge when that happened, and I'm glad and I'm proud. I'm very, very proud that we accomplished what we accomplished there. Will it stay? I don't know. There's a lot of troops that are still there. There's a lot of non-combat troops that are still there, I understand. And I think that'll be that way for a while. But as it stands now, I don't say this about President Obama a lot, but great job, President Obama, for carrying forward with a Bush-era policy that I think was important historically, is important to freedom around the world. And I think that's a success, and that's something that we should all be proud of as Americans.
Martha?
Well, you know, my son served in Iraq twice, and he is an intel person. I guess you could say my son, the graduate spook. I have to tell you that I was glad to see the troops leaving. I think the problem that we face in Iraq is one that democracy as we know it is never going to work in a tribal culture that is exacerbated by the two different factions, the Sufis and the Sunnis.
The Shiites and the Sufis.
I'm sorry, the Shiites and the Sunnis, though the Sufis are part of the Islamic world. Unless they can agree on how to govern the country, it will fall back into chaos. And it's sad and it's tragic, but I have to say I'm glad that our young men and women are coming home.
Michael?
Excuse me, I would agree with Oren's comments. Certainly bravo to President Obama for taking this action.
Absolutely.
But I also wholeheartedly agree with what you just said, Martha. I mean, they do not have a functioning government over there right now, and nation rebuilding or nation building in the kind of climate you're talking about, whether it's Iraq, whether it's Afghanistan, is very, very difficult because of the components you just indicated, the tribal leadership and typically how they've done business in the past. And yes, we still are going to have about 50,000 troops left in Iraq right now, but their sole mission is, or their main mission is primarily to train the Iraqi forces and stuff, but it is going to be a very, very difficult challenge for them to try to ensure this transition to a government, to a government that's not even functioning right now.
There was an interesting column in the New York Times by Thomas Friedman yesterday when he discussed this very issue, and it's the same thing. They have a unique opportunity at this point to put aside their tribal and religious differences and work together to make Iraq a functioning country. But unless the leaders have the guts to do this or the courage to do it, then
Well, we've seen no inclination that they do have that guts or have the courage to do that. I mean, how long has it been since the elections were?
Well, we've also
but the people had the courage.
The people
to go out and vote.
That's right. And that's when 13 million people go out and risk their lives to go and mark themselves with that purple finger to go vote. Mm-hmm. It's the power of the people always. It's the ground up. That's how this country is. That's how all stable, solid democracies will prosper. And the other thing that I think none of us can forget is the neighbor. Especially Iran. If you think that they're not trying to influence that country to our detriment, then you're absolutely wrong.
Absolutely.
So us having that foothold there and our foot in the door in that region is going to remain critical for decades.
And to that point, if we look at Germany, Japan, Korea, how many years more are we going to actually end up being in Iraq? And if not Iraq, then in Kuwait?
I agree. I mean, it could be an awful long time if you listen to the Iraqi representatives and leaders. They want us there for the long term.
But if you look at the history of the Cold War, especially with our presence in Germany, that was a critical presence all those years. Same thing in Japan.
We're still in the Koreas right now.
Yeah, we still have bases in Okinawa.
Yeah.
All right. I want to change topics here to just something that popped up last week in Nevada politics, which was the state Senate Majority Leader Stephen Horsfoot asking for $25,000 as a contribution to his Victory 2010 Political Action Committee to be able to meet with himself and his chairman. Your thoughts on it? And we don't have a lot of time, but your
stupid.
Thoughts
on it? absolutely stupid.
Okay, I think we can take that.
I'm glad it's in the open, but it's, I mean, there's no other word for it but corrupt. I mean, that's but an invitation for corruption.
Okay, but the reality is that this goes on all the time on both sides.
You're right. You're exactly right.
That is
the reality. Yeah. Exactly. They don't put it in a letter.
Underground.
Yeah, I mean, and that doesn't make it right just because it goes on all the time. But again,
it's not right.
No, it is not right.
And the lobbyists have much too much power in the state legislature. Actually, they write some of the bills. And I think that's incredibly wrong, and I'm not sure how it could ever be corrected.
Not in a citizen legislature.
Right. I mean, if somebody's representing an industry that is far more aware of the nuts and bolts of that industry, then certainly the assistance in writing the legislation so that it doesn't have a lot of negative unintended consequences. So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah.
There has to be a negotiation.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a cooperation. But in the end, the elected legislators have to understand that they are answerable to the people.
Right.
And that's where we have to leave it. Folks, thank you very much. We'll be right back in Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
So here's an unusual question. When's the last time you went to the dentist?
I can't remember.
I know I should visit the dentist more often, but Medicare doesn't pay for it.
No, I haven't seen the dentist in a while.
Why is that?
When he retired, we lost our dental insurance.
You spoke, we listened. If you're one of the millions of Americans without dental insurance, Physicians Mutual Insurance Company has an answer for you. For less than a dollar a day, you can get real dental insurance that pays for over 300 covered procedures, including cleanings, fillings, crowns, and even dentures. Cash benefits are paid directly to you, and you don't have to pay a deductible. This isn't one of those dental discount programs. This is real insurance that can pay for everything from preventive care to major dental services. And that's important to your overall health. Now, if you're worried about being turned down because of your age or dental health, relax. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these policies. Plus, you can go to any dentist you choose. That's right. You're free to go to the dentist you're most comfortable with. If you're retired or on Medicare, this coverage can help you get the dental care you need. That's good to know because, in most cases, dental care just isn't covered by Medicare. Want to find out more? Just call this number or go online to get all the details. There's no cost or obligation. You'll get straightforward answers and friendly service. At Physicians Mutual, we listen and we care.
It's about time someone listened.
This is the simple, affordable dental insurance you've been waiting for. So put it to work for you before your next appointment.
For free information, call 1-800-688-4910, 1-800-688-4910, or visit dentalforallofus.com.
On our next broadcast, Cam Fehrenbach, he's the president of the state bar. We'll see you then.